Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for another opportunity to fellowship together around the Word of God. We know, Lord, and we declare that the entrance of your Word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning and give us understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. Give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, I want to talk today about kingdom expression, favor magnets, and favor management. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, you say, well, what's that all about? Well, you hear about it in just a bit. I'm going to share a few stories with you from the Bible. Not anything that you don't know, but there's something that we want to bring out of this. Praise the Lord. Well, first of all, we've been talking about, you know, favor from the Lord as the king in his kingdom. We've talked about that multiple times. You know, so the Lord can make a decree for just you or just one person because he's a king in his kingdom. The word of the king goes. We've explained that multiple times. Today, we want to look at the same concept, but from a different perspective. That's right. We want to look at it from your perspective. Now, from God's perspective, he can do that. But what about you? From your perspective, what is it that you can attract from the Lord? So I want to talk about, you know, favor like a magnet or favor magnet and how, and we'll share some examples in the Bible, just a few examples of people who seem to just attract the favor of God. You know, no matter the complex circumstances that they are in, no matter what the devil tried to do or something, they always just seem to attract the favor of God. You know, and I call them, you know, favor magnets. And just like magnetize, you know how the magnet pulls, you know, metallic objects towards itself. Well, favor magnets will pull the favor of God toward themselves. Hallelujah. But how do we do it? Well, the deep calls unto the deep. You know, there is a certain thing, a certain characteristic, you know, that we must understand. It's actually called walking with God, you know. So when we are in alignment with God, we can actually attract favor from the Lord, you know. So I'll be talking about that, and that will just, that's just a summary or a preamble, if you want to call it that. I'll be talking about that, and I will be sharing a few stories with us. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, can it happen? No. So for us to walk with God, to be joined with the Lord in such a way that, you know, we're attracting his presence, we're attracting his favor, well, we got to be in agreement and in alignment with the Lord. It's not the other way around. It's not God that needs to align with us, you know, which is what people do sometimes. The way we pray, you know, we try to set forth things and, you know, ask God to do them like that, you know. And but in these lessons, over the last few days, we've been talking about everything begins with the Word of God. You see things from God's perspective first, what he said, before we even begin to ask. Okay, but today I want to look at it from this angle. If we are indeed walking with God, what does that bring? And what can we expect if you are walking with a perfect heart before the Lord? So that's going to be one of our prayer points this morning. You know, the stories of the kings in the Bible, they were there for a reason. But at the end of, you know, most of them in the book of the Kings, in the book of the Chronicles and so forth, you know, and even Samuel, because Samuel contains some record of some kings, you know, then, you know, at the end, he would say there would be a summary like such and such person, you know, did good before the Lord and was this and this and that, or did evil before the Lord. Some of them even did well before the Lord, but the scripture might say, well, but he was not perfect in his ways. I mean, and you know, it was really hard to find too many of them that were perfect before the Lord, to walk before the Lord with a perfect heart and did all according to, you know, sometimes they would do that and then there will be some, you know, some blemish, a little here, a little there. And it was just like, wow. And mostly in the sides of the kings of Judah, for the most part, you know, they did good in the sight of the Lord. But the kings of Israel, oh no. Many of them were evil, you know. And what am I trying to bring out of that? Well, what is the summary of our life thus far? And then at the end too, what will it be? Will it be said that this man walked with God and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with a perfect heart before the God of heaven, and his ways were found to be perfect before the Lord? Well, you know, if that is the posture that we are in, and if that's the kind of journey that we have with God, we may be actually qualified to be a favor magnet, a favor of God will just come to you, and all things work by faith. You know, but this lesson here that I want to share with us, we'll see the people of God, some of whom, upon whom God put this kind of favor, no matter what. They were also people of faith, you know. We want to see how the favor of God worked in their lives. There are a few stories that I will share. Some of it we've talked about before, many times, perhaps even more than once. You know, but we want to bring something out. You know, there is a story about Jacob in the Bible. Between Genesis chapter 30 and 31, we'll see one part of his story that was told. His dealings with Laban, who, you know, kind of his uncle, and he was trying to get a wife and all of that. So you may know the story. How Laban tricked him, gave him first Leah instead of Rachel and all of that. And he really wanted Rachel, and he had to walk 7 more years. First 7 years for Leah, which was treachery on the part of Laban. And, well, he figured out later that, well, why'd you deceive me and give me a different woman? I said, well, it's not so done in our culture that we should give away the younger before the elder. He said, serve me another. And he prescribed 7 more yet years for him, and I will give you also Rachel to wife. Well, Jacob said, okay, because of the great passion and love that he had towards Rachel. He was willing to do that. Next, after that was done, finally after 14 years, he got Rachel. Says to Laban, send me away that I may go and start my own family. I mean, I've served you all these years. How long will it be? The man comes back and say, well, you know, I have noticed something. And here's where our lesson starts. You know, the statement that Laban made, even though he was a bit treacherous, yet, you know, the statement that he made, you know, when Jacob says to him, you know, send me away so that I will, you know, go and take care of my own family. So Laban says to him in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Okay, so let's examine that statement for a bit. We'll see one or more stories also where things like this happened, where, you know, someone being in a particular place attracted favor like a magnet to that place. Jacob here, Laban says, look, from the time that you've been in my house, I have seen it. God has increased me and God has blessed me for your sake. Because before I came here, I was this much, but now God has grown me to this much greater because of you. You know, it's like Jacob attracted the favor of God into the house of Laban. And the man said, look, I know the Lord is with you. I know it, but I pray that you will tarry with me a little bit. Ask me what I will give you and I will give it to you. You know, and Jacob said to him, look, you know how I have served you, how your cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hast when I came. Look at the attraction of favor. When Jacob got in there, the man had very little cattle, only so much. And now he said, look, this thing has increased into a multitude. And the Lord had blessed thee since my coming. I mean, Jacob was like a magnet, you know, that attracted the favor of God into the situation that he was in. I mean, not just the favor of God upon himself, but the favor of God upon his situation and the sphere of his own sphere of influence where he was at. This is what I call kingdom expression. Wherever you are, Jesus said it himself, said, look, wherever you are, let your light so shine wherever you are. People may see, you know, the light of God in you and give glory to God. Now, this Jacob man, he had this favor upon him. And favor followed him, even to Laban's house. When he got there, everything was little. While he was there, the thing increased to a multitude. You know, and he said, the Lord has blessed me. Look, when shall I provide for my own? You know, so they made a deal. You know, Jacob will reveal later on that during that time that he was with Laban, the man switched his wages 10 times. It wasn't just once or twice. They would agree on something, he would switch it. You know, but Jacob was, you know, patiently, you know, just serving the man. Just, you know, wanted an opportunity to get his wife, now wives, and, you know, his children, and then just move on. But there was it came to a time on this last phase. There were three phases. First 7 years for Leah, another 7 years for Rachel, yet six more years because the man prevailed upon him that you should stay. The Lord has blessed me. I pray that you stay. So in the next 6 years, Jacob now figured out that, look, this man has a diabolical scheme to keep me here. He won't give me my wives and let me go. He won't let me go and start my own thing. I mean, just trying to keep me here forever. So this thing was in the heart. And every time I tried to move ahead, he changes my wages so that I will not move ahead. Now, so this thing was in Jacob's mind. But the favor of God that was on Jacob would not permit Laban to get the better of him. And as his story went, which you know, the Lord gave Jacob strategy like nobody else in that Bible. I don't see any other story like that in the Bible of what Jacob did, what God showed him to do to bring a transfer of wealth. That's right. You know, and that's what, you know, the favor magnets, that's what happens to them. You know, good things just come to them. You know, they magnetize, like, you know, just pull. I mean, they're like a vortex. They suck, you know, the favor towards them. A magnet, that's what it does. You know, so this story, well, you know, Jacob had been accused in the past, you know, because, you know, the man gave him one or two little sheep here and there, and probably accused him in the past that he stole something that didn't belong to him, you know, because sheep was how they counted wealth back in the day. So Jacob says to this man, look, lest there be any accusations on my faithfulness and my integrity, here is what we're going to do. My wages, you pay me with sheep, quite all right, but pay me with all those sheep that nobody wants. The ones that are spotted and grizzled, I mean, and, you know, ring-streaked and speckled and so on. Yeah, everybody wanted the one that was plain color, nice looking, not the ones that had ugly white and black and brown and this and that. You know, so I said, well, you know, what you're going to do is give me those ones that you don't want. Those will be my hire. So the next time around, when you check among my flock, if you see any sheep that's not like these ones we agree on, they're not ring-streaked, they're not speckled, they're not spotted, they're not, you know, the ones, the rejected ones, then you know that I've stolen them. But if all you see are these ones, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted, then you know that I've kept my integrity. And the man said, well, that's good. That's easy to figure out. If we find anything among your sheep that's not like this, then you know they are stolen. So that was the deal. Well, the favor of God would not stop there. You know, that favor has been upon Laban because of Jacob. Now it is time for that to switch and come back to Jacob for Jacob's own sake. That's right. First, it was because of Jacob's sake that Laban's house was blessed. Now, it's got to come back to Jacob's own bosom. And the Lord is going to show him how. So in a dream, one night, the Lord showed him, this is what you do. Anytime that these cattle come to mate, you see them by the river, here's what you do. You look for the ones that are strong, have good bones, you know, they have, you know, good structure and so forth. This is the ones that everybody wants, not the feeble ones. When they are about to mate, here's what you do. You influence, that's right. You influence the outcome of their mating. How will you do it? Well, I'll show you how. You will cause them to bring forth the wrinkled, the speckled, the ring-streaked, and the spotted, even if they were solid brown and solid white to start with. When they bring forth, they will bring forth for you like this. And that we, that's how I would transfer all the wealth of Laban. And I tried to cheat you these 10 times, transfer everything to you. Incredible story. I cannot get enough of it anytime I read it or think about it. Something amazing that was shown to Jacob. The favor of God was so much upon him. God showed him this thing, and nobody has ever did anything quite like it. He actually influenced the outcome of nature like that. And so it was so that God showed him, well, take a couple of sticks, shape them like this, let the white and the black and the brown come out in those sticks, and put them before the cattle when they mate and when they're about to conceive, and then they will come out. What will come out of them will be like this. I mean, look. True enough that God showed him that in a dream. But Jacob had to believe it. Jacob could have said, oh, come on. Whoever heard of such a thing? He could have said that. But look, these people, they knew their God. Just like Daniel 11:32 said, the people that do know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. This man, Joseph, Jacob, he knew his God. He knew the voice of God. And he knew what God showed him. He didn't tell anybody. He kept it a secret. Afterwards, he revealed it. He didn't share it. Don't share the strategy that God gives you. Keep it to yourself. The devil will steal it, and he will taint it too. He kept it to himself. And God told him this thing. And he did it, just like the Lord showed him. And lo and behold, every time the weak cattle came and were mating, Jacob just ignored them. But when he saw the strong cattle that had good bones and everything, the fatted ones, he would do the thing that the Lord showed him. And they would bring forth the colors that were Jacob's. And so God transferred all the wealth of Laban to Jacob. My goodness, that's right. Because Jacob had favor upon him. And if God was, it was like a magnet. He magnetized God's favor. Wherever he went, the favor followed him. Even if someone tried to cheat him, favor stood up for him. and it's just an amazing, that's an amazing story. And at the end, he got all the strong cattle to the point that, everybody said, wow, you've stolen everything. Even his daughters, his wife said, you've stolen everything from our father and so on. He said, well, I didn't do anything. You know how your father has changed my wages all these times and did all this. This is what we agreed on. And see, nobody could fault Jacob, because there was no way that Jacob could have made cattle come out, ring straight, speckled and spotted. Jacob couldn't do it. Had to be God. But God put that kind of favor upon Jacob to bring it to pass. It's called kingdom expression. The attributes of that kingdom and the king put upon Jacob to influence things, cause, change direction. Change the trajectory of his own life. This man was going to rob him of everything, make him become nothing. The favor of God that was on Jacob would not allow it. Powerful story. You should read Genesis 30 and 31. So let's leave that one there. And let's talk about Joseph. Joseph was another man that had tremendous favor from God upon him. At times he didn't even know it, but it was upon him anyway. And his story. you know, how his dreams, and you know, he wasn't shrewd enough to keep his dreams to himself, and he would tell his brothers, tell everybody, and they hated him because of what they thought the interpretation of those dreams would mean, and they plotted evil against him. You know the story. But because this man Joseph was a favor magnet, that's right, everywhere he went, even in his distresses, even in the calamities, all the would-be destiny destroyers that came up against him, somehow the favor of God turned them to be destiny helpers, willingly or unwillingly. You know, because there was so much favor upon this man Joseph. You know, let's read one or two verses here and see how it happened. Even when he got into slavery, they sold him into slavery, you know that. And it came to pass. Well, this is Genesis chapter 39. You know, so let me read it from verse 1. I was going to read verse 5, but let me just read it from verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites. So he was a slave. He was purchased. First, he was sold to the Ishmaelites, you know, and then sold to Potiphar. Now, before he was sold to the Ishmaelites, a lot of things happened. His brothers wanted to kill him. One person stood up and said, well, let's not kill him. Just put him over here. Because he wanted to come back and deliver him. That was his first destiny helper. You know. And then another, all the would-be destiny destroyers who wanted to kill him, they didn't know that they were actually doing Joseph a favor. When they sold into the Ishmaelites, well, that was another, you know, destiny helpers there. They carried him to Egypt. Yeah. During all that journey, it didn't look like it was going to be well with him. Because now they're carrying him away from his father and his family. He's going to be a slave. And then exchange of money over him. I mean, people would, you know, bargain for him and pay money for him. He knew he was a slave. He saw it and was like, what is, you know, what in the world? And he ended up in the house of Potiphar. Bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites. And they brought him down to Egypt. Now, but listen to this. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he became, you know, a prosperous man. He was a prosperous man, but he became a prosperous man. Even though it didn't look like he was prospering when he was with his family. Because, he, you know, he was almost the last born. And he wasn't anything too much. And, I mean, his father liked him. Treated him, you know, kind of special, made him a rainbow coat and so forth. But there wasn't anything significant other than his dreams. But now, all of a sudden, he's been taken into slavery, so far away from his family. And then this thing that is inside of him begins to happen and begins to attract prosperity. It's inside of him, you know. It was like a magnet. So he goes to the house of Potiphar. All of a sudden, I mean, of all the slaves and all the people that Potiphar had, his master, you know, saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So when Joseph was there, all of a sudden, things begin to prosper in the house of Potiphar. Whether they traded, whatever they did, there was an increase, and things were just increasing, just like Jacob brought increase to the house of Laban. Joseph brought increase to the house of Potiphar, and Joseph found grace. And so this Potiphar made him overseer over all his house, you know, and put everything he had into his hand. That's right. And it came to pass from time to time, made him overseer in his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Jacob's sake. Listen to this. Same thing like Laban. Laban was blessed because of Jacob's sake. This man was now blessed because of Joseph's sake. Now, these are favor magnets. Wherever they go, they bring a blessing. Not only just for themselves, but even the blessing is a kingdom expression. The kingdom of God flourished inside of them and expressed outside to people around them. And they brought a blessing. Praise God. It's powerful stuff, you know. And so God began to bless everything that was in Potiphar's house because of Jacob's sake. And listen to this. And the blessing of the Lord. I'm reading now Genesis chapter 39 verse 5. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that Potiphar had in the house and in the field because of Joseph. And he left all that was in his hand, everything, just put it all in Joseph's hand. Because, in fact, Potiphar did not even know inventory of what he had. It became so much. He couldn't even figure it out, you know. I mean, the thing just multiplied, blossomed, increased. You know, remember, that's what the Lord said at the beginning. He put that anointing, that favor upon Adam. Be fruitful and multiply. God put it inside of him. You will increase, you will multiply, you will replenish the earth, you will do these things, you will bring kingdom expression. Wherever you are, cause things to flourish. You know, and put him somewhere to manage it. I'm going to talk about that management in a bit. But the favor of God was upon Adam. You know, he just had, God did everything. Put it inside him. Inside of you, I put a blessing. A blessing for fruitfulness. A blessing for multiplication. Hallelujah. And this blessing was upon Jacob. This blessing was upon Joseph. They had the power inside of them to make things multiply. They were magnets of God's favor. And things were increasing. Joseph was a goodly person, you know, and well favored. Now, this Potiphar knew not what he had. He could not even take inventory. The sin had increased so much. He just left everything in Joseph's hand. The only thing he knew was the bread that was on his table. I mean, there was supply, was so much increase, he couldn't keep up with it because of Joseph. Hallelujah. Praise God. We won't read the other story that happened to him because of Potiphar's wife. But I will say this, that the favor that was upon him could not be removed by even the treachery in the seductress's heart. And she wanted to seduce him. Joseph wouldn't give in. She eventually framed him for a crime that he did not commit. Well, it doesn't matter whether you try to cheat, whether Laban tried to cheat Jacob out of his wages for 10 times throughout the 6 years and more, you know, the 14 years, the 6 years, it doesn't matter. At the end, God is good. The justice system is coming in, you know, and he's putting, look, God is transferring all that wealth back, put the favor that was there, that was used during blessing Laban, returning into Jacob's bosom. Same thing here for Joseph. His own was a little bit different. I mean, he was like a blessing everywhere he went. Even when they threw him into prison, as soon as he got into prison, we are told that the warden looked at him. He just, you know, that was just something upon him. That was favor upon Joseph. Now, listen to this. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison because of what his, you know, Potiphar's wife had said. And he was angry and said, for everything I've done to you, you tried to do this to my wife. I was so angry. Cast him into prison and everything. Well, so they put him in a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. Now, verse 21 of Genesis 39. But the Lord was with Joseph. Well, I want us to put it this way. But the favor of the Lord was upon Joseph. That's right. When the Lord is with you, favor will be with you. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. That's the wording. And the keeper of the prison, as soon as Joseph got there, he made him to be in charge of everything. Like, look, you know, you can't do it. You cannot obliterate. You cannot remove. You cannot quench. You cannot snuff out the favor of God upon God's favor magnets. God put it there. You can't do it. And this man was a favor magnet. Favor everywhere he went. Immediately, they put him in charge of the prisoners. Now, they putting him in charge of the prisoners, which was God's favor, gave him liberties that others didn't have. He could now go all around everywhere, not just in his own single cell. You know, he had the liberty of walking around from cell to cell, and checking on the prisoners. So all of these things, this favor that was upon him also, and all the, even though they did evil to him, the would-be evil, the would-be destiny destroyer, throw him in the slammer and everything, turned out to be destiny helpers, kept moving him forward into the position where God wanted him to be able to finally stand before Pharaoh. Because while he was in prison, because of the favor that was upon Joseph, think about it. It was the favor that was upon Joseph that made him to have the right to be able to go around and talk to the other prisoners because they put him in charge. And there was a grace inside of Joseph's heart. He was kind-hearted. He was sensitive. And when he was talking to the prisoners, I found one that was, you know, Pharaoh's baker, and one that was, you know, another one that came in there. It was, you know, these two people came from Pharaoh that were there. And the butler, the chief butler, and the chief of the bakers. And Joseph met them, and he would say, and he would talk to them. So one day, Joseph noticed that they were sad. "Why look you so sadly today?" he said to them. They said, "Well, you know, we've dreamt a dream," because they were talking about it. What manner of dream is this before Joseph came? And they told Joseph the dream, and he interpreted it, and so on and so forth. And you know the rest of the story. You know, but it was the favor of God that was upon Joseph that put him in that position to be able to meet these people while he was in prison. He could have just been a prisoner, just like everybody else, and he would not have gotten a chance to meet these people if the favor wasn't upon him to give him liberty to be in charge of, I mean, they'd be putting him in charge of the prisoners, giving liberty to go around everybody and see how they are doing and report to the warden. So in all his rounds, he met these people, you know, and his favor was upon him. Favor was always upon him. The favor of God that was upon him also gave him the power to interpret dreams. It was tremendous. And even though he asked, you know, the butler to remember him and speak a good word to Pharaoh, the man didn't. When the butler got back into position for 2 years, he forgot Joseph. But nonetheless, the favor of God was still cooking up something in Joseph. The favor of God was always cooking up something for him. And God made it to where, see, I'll tell you another side of that story. If the butler had immediately, after he got out of prison, spoken to Pharaoh about Joseph, it would have had no impact. Or probably not the kind of impact he had. You know, God waited until later. Even the wickedness in the heart of this butler that forgot the person that got you, helped you, and gave you encouragement to get there, you know, forgot it. God even used that, put it in perfect timing, waited until a time that Pharaoh had a need that only Joseph could meet. See, at that point in time, when butler told Pharaoh, "Look, I realized my fault this day. When you cast both me and the chief baker into prison, there we met a Jew there, who one night when we, both me and the baker, had a dream, he interpreted the dream to us, and he fell to us like he interpreted. Me, you restored, the other one you hand. Just like the man interpreted, this man will tell Pharaoh his dreams. Huh? Now, all of a sudden, he got Pharaoh's attention. Now, the favor of God that was on Joseph is coming into play again. Never left. God was just setting him up for even something greater. Now he's going to get a chance to stand before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, tell me again. You mean there was somebody that predicted to you what happened to both you and the baker before I did it? He said, yeah, we had a dream. We didn't understand the dreams, but he interpreted the dream to us and it happened just exactly. I guarantee you, my Lord Pharaoh, that this man will interpret your dream for you. So there Pharaoh fetched, said, go and fetch me this man. I cleaned him up, came, stood before Pharaoh. And you know the rest of the story. The favor of God that was upon Joseph kept catapulting him, moving him in the direction of where God wants him to be, even through all the distresses. Actually turned out to be like destiny helpers. God's favor upon Joseph turned all the would-be destiny destroying acts to destiny helping acts. That was the favor of God. Everything somebody did to him to spoil his life, to ruin his life, to destroy him, to destroy his future, we'll see what will become of your dreams now, they said. His brother said, well, all of that, because of the favor that was upon Joseph, you threw all these things at him. God put it together inside the furnace, you know, blended everything together, and out comes a blessing. Praise God. Now, God knows what he's doing. You cannot, you know, once God puts that favor on someone, you cannot do anything about it. You can't move it. You can't change it. It's like, you know, the gift of God is without repentance. The anointing of favor that was upon a person to make them like a magnet of God, to, you know, a favor magnet, you can't change it. So, you know the rest of the story. In one day, although he spent a few years in prison, but one day, that favor will spring up into life again. See, God is cooking it, and it's coming, and one day he's going to serve it up. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, here's my dream. I dreamt this dream twice in one night, like this, like this, like this. And Joseph said, well, this is the interpretation of your dream. This is what's going to happen. God has showed it to Pharaoh, and he doubled it to you twice because it is going to happen. You know, so, and after he told him the dream, these fat cattle and the good ears of corn, they are 7 good years. And these lean ones, and then the other ones that came and devoured us, those are 7 bad years that will come. In the first 7 years, you're going to have so much plenty. But the 7 years that will come after, you will forget all of it. Because you will devour it and the land will become completely desolate. But here's what I say unto you. Receive my counsel. Counsel out my mouth today. This is what you do. In the years of increase, you put aside 20% and you build more bigger barns and more this and this and this. And the wisdom was upon, wisdom was incredible. Understanding, knowledge, and everything of part counsel, is what I called it, or part inside of Joseph because of the favor of God that was upon him to give counsel at the right moment that Pharaoh needed it. And Joseph says to Pharaoh, you know, you need to set a man over this that will manage the favor that God will give you in those 7 years. That's, you know, favor management. And he said, well, and Pharaoh looked around, looked at all his chamberlains and everybody, and he said, where shall we find a man so discreet? I can understand this. Not only predict what's coming, but also tell us what to do. You are the man, and I am Pharaoh. And this day, from now and on, you will be the man in Egypt. Nobody will lift a finger. Nobody would do anything. And he turned around and said, every one of you, you report to Joseph from now on. Including Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. You bow the knee to Joseph. And I love to see the expression on Potiphar's wife at that moment when she had to kneel before Joseph. That's right. Kneel before Joseph. This was the man you framed and threw in prison for a crime that he did not commit. Because he would not give in to your seduction. But now you have to kneel before him. Potiphar himself had to kneel before Joseph. Everybody, kneel, bow the knee. I am Pharaoh. And you are Joseph. He took his ring, put it upon him, took his chariot, put upon him, took his robe, put upon him. I mean, it was incredible. Incredible, ladies and gentlemen. It was a magnet. The king could not find anything more to do to Joseph. Everything. He said, look, only in the throne. The only thing is I would just be associated with the throne, but you are in charge of everything else. Only in the throne will I be greater than you, but everything that goes in and out of the Egypt, you are the man. And Egypt ruled the world at the time. So Pharaoh, literally put Joseph in charge of the whole world. That's a kingdom expression coming out of Joseph. Now, Joseph is going to rule the world, but he's going to be a good Joseph. And there's coming an evil Joseph at the end of the age. He's called the Antichrist. He will have this kind of knowledge like Joseph. He will know how to gather up all the things, and he will get all the people's, he got all the people's money. He did. But he got, Joseph was good. He got it for Pharaoh, and then when the people lacked, they came to Joseph. Joseph said, well, look, you have to sell me your house. For food, you have to do this and this and this. Well, at the end of the age, some people will sell almost their soul for food in the Antichrist system. It's coming, but let me leave that alone. Yeah. But Joseph was a good Joseph, and he did this because of the favor of God that was upon him. That's so amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing stories. Well, I'm going to tell you just these two stories today. Because I want to turn to the favor management part of it. Now, everything that God does is for a purpose. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us that there is a purpose and a plan for everything. It's not, God doesn't just do things randomly, It's a purpose, that's a plan, that's something that he's, something that God is cooking. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And he went on and told us all those things. And God has a plan. When God puts, that kind of blessing upon people, the plan he had for Adam at the beginning was to be the manager of the favor of God. God had already created the earth, colonized it for himself in his mind. He did that already. But to carry it out, he was going to get the man to do it. So he put the man in charge, have dominion over everything, bring everything into alignment, express the culture of heaven into earth, do these things, represent, and bring everything into submission, subdue everything, have dominion over everything. And then he created a garden. In this garden, it was incredible stuff. Everything you needed, even the tree of life was there. The leaves of this tree for healing, for life. It would just be incredible. Actually, the leaves of the tree of life at the beginning were for life. The fruit of it was for life. But later on, God changed it, so that it would be for healing. Adam didn't need healing at the beginning, but he would have given him, he would have lived forever. Just live and live and live. Every time he ate of that, God knew it. He put it there. And then God gave him, a task. Manage this garden. Now, this garden was supposed to be the center of the earth. manage this thing. And out of this garden will flow for different things, rivers and different things and so forth, nourish the earth and the, you know, the blessing, the influence that will come out of it. This garden was a model. This is the way the rest of the earth is going to be. This one right here that I have here. And you're going to develop this model throughout the earth and all your generations as people come. They'll take this model and they will do it. They develop it. Wow. It was good. Well, that plan didn't last very long. You know the rest of the story. But that was the plan. But God wanted Adam to manage it. The Bible said the Lord set the, you know, garden in the east, you know, and so forth. And put this man there to address it. He was a manager. Manage this thing. Now, let me use that prophetically to tell us something about, you know, when God puts favor upon a person, amen, you know, then you also have responsibility for managing it, you know. Well, Joseph was a great manager. There was nobody like him in that Bible, you know. I mean, he had tremendous ability. Wisdom beyond even the magicians, the soothsayers, the astrologers, the, you know, all these people, you know, he had wisdom, knowledge and counsel, and he knew what to do, you know, and every time he just amassed wealth and laid it up. They built more cities, they built more barns, they built more silos, all those silos of Egypt and so forth. They built more and more and more and put all these things away. I mean, he was an incredible manager. And his influence began to spread. It wasn't just within Egypt. It began to spread. People heard of the fame that, look, there is something going on in Egypt. When all the whole world, and God made it to where the whole world would start to lack. You know, all the kingdoms of where people were all over the face of the earth at that time, you know, were in dire lacking. But Egypt was flourishing because of kingdom expression in one man called Joseph. And he was managing it right. And people were coming. People were coming. You've heard of how, you know, people came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Well, people didn't know who Joseph was, but they were coming. There is something in Egypt and they are coming to buy. And Joseph was managing all of this. I mean, the whole world. Under his influence, starting from one small place where he was at. Hallelujah. You know, so you start right where you are. You know, but look at what God can do for you. Did you know that even Daniel, you know, when he was in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar in the captivity, you know, there was favor upon him. Favor for him to be great. It didn't matter whether he was already great inside him, but the greatness didn't come out because now they put him into captivity. And when Nebuchadnezzar was looking, you know, asked his chamberlains to do an audition to bring more people in, he said, look, take all the children of the princes. Yeah, so this man was already a worthy prince within himself, but he was in captivity. Had nothing going for him at the time, but the light was inside of him. The surroundings around him could not quench the light that was in him. There was something in him that was going to differentiate him from others. You know, and at the end of the day, you know all the stories and everything that went, you know how people even conspired against him to kill him and throw in the lion's den and everything and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, he was the chief. Was the president of the presidents. He was over and above everybody that was in that place. And even the king come out and said, look, I make a decree throughout all places of my dominion. So this was kingdom expression inside of Daniel. Where anyone speaks anything against the God of Daniel. That's right. Let him be cut in pieces. Let his house be made a dunghill. That's right. Because there was something inside of Daniel. He stood up against the evil. He stood up against, you know, all the conspiracy and so forth. He stood his ground. He walked with God. He was faithful in his ways. The favor of God kept promoting him. He was a slave. He came in there as a slave. But the next thing you know, he's the chief of the presidents. And, you know, and even though, you know, people tried to destroy him, the king started continue to promote him. Praise God. At first, this favor of God was upon him, just like Joseph, to have the gift of interpretation of dreams. It was favor. It was inside of him. And when he interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar that nobody else could figure out, the king promoted him. Daniel said, well, you know, these are my friends that prayed with me when we were looking for the interpretation. So he got them also promoted. Now that's a good Daniel. That's a good Daniel. Remember the people that were with him in the trenches. And he brought them up along. And he made sure those people also got promoted. And the next thing you know, people are envious of them because of the favor of God that was upon them. I mean, how in the world these slaves from you don't know where, they're not going to come and rule over us? Well, let's figure out how to get rid of them. You know, but the favor of God was upon you. It doesn't matter whether you throw them in the fire. Doesn't matter whether you throw them in the lion's den. The favor of God. And when you come out of that lion's den, my goodness, the king promoted him. Destroyed all his would-be destroyers. Cast those same people in the lion's den. And the lions made mastery of them even before they hit the bottom. But the favor of God protected Daniel in the lion's den. They protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And they exerted their influence, the kingdom expression upon their generation. To the point where that king would make a decree and say, throughout all places of my dominion, if anyone would say a word against the God of Daniel, you know, let them be cut to pieces. And, you know, listen to this. I'm going to read it to you. Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. You know, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. Remember, you know, his kingdom was ruling there. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, all my colonies, all my territories, everywhere the sphere of my influence, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his dominion, his kingdom, that we shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. You know, he rescued, delivereth, walketh signs and wonders, who had delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus and all these people. And Daniel was just going from, he was above all the presidents in the land. He was in charge of everything. God just kept promoting. There was favor upon him. It didn't matter what you tried to do to him. The favor of God was with him. But these people were steadfast. They managed God's favor by walking with God. That's it. That's the part I want to bring out today. When the favor of God is upon you, how do you manage that favor? By walking with God. You walk with God. You know, you walk with God. And walking with God in the first place is what attracts the favor. And managing the favor is retained by continuing to walk with God. You know, that's how you do it. Noah, we're told, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, and he himself, you know, also walked with God. Just like, Enoch walked with God. You know, Enoch's own was a little bit different, but Noah also, because of the favor that he had, you know, he walked with God. Praise the Lord. Let's read Genesis, chapter 6. And let's read verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in the generations, and he walked with God. See? And because he walked with God, just like Enoch walked with God, God put some favor upon him. And the favor of God upon Noah was demonstrated in a different way than it was in Enoch. In the case of Enoch, very little was written about him, but we know that he left the earth without seeing death. The first and only one at that time. And for centuries and thousands of years, there was nobody else that could do that. But in the case of Noah, it was a different kind of favor that was upon him. Had favor, I mean, tremendous power over all the animals that had been wild at that time. He was able to control all of them, give them instructions, was able to manage that. Praise God. So, you know, I'm not going to speak too much on the management today. I'm going to introduce it. I'll talk more about it later. But we need to know how to manage the favor of God that's upon you. When God puts it upon you, you've got to manage things right. If you don't, you might very well just lose it. You know, God had favor, you know, upon, it's a story that Jesus told. The master, you know, saw these people, he looked at them, you know, he had done his analysis of them. He knew their abilities and he gave them certain talents according to every man's ability. But there was one that could not manage that. He went and hid it, and of course he lost it. Now, but those that managed it well, you know, they got even more. When the God puts something upon you and you are able to manage it well, it will blossom, it will increase, it will flourish. Jesus said it himself. He said, he that hath shall be given more, so that he will have more abundance. Because he knows how to manage what he said. Now, before I close, let me read to you a little instruction out of the book of Luke, chapter 16, about, you know, how to manage things and do things the right way. Now, even though this lesson is about just managing, you know, finances and things like that, it's also about managing God's favor. Anything that God puts in you or on you, if you don't manage it right, then things will not work out right. But if you do manage it right, you know, then of course, you know, things will, you know, work out well because you have even more, you know. Now, the Lord told this story called the unjust steward. There was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused of him that he had wasted his goods, had not managed the goods. So he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear of thee? Give account of your management, your stewardship, for you may no longer be steward. I may remove you from that post of being the manager. So the steward said within himself, what shall I do? My master is going to take from me the stewardship. I can't dig. I do this to beg. I'm ashamed. And so forth. I'm resolved what's to do. So that when they put me out of this, my position, they will receive me into my houses, their houses. So now he became very shrewd. So he called one of the Lord's debtors, his Lord's debtor, and say, you know, well, how much money do you owe to my Lord? So the man said, well, I owe 100 measures of deal. Of oil. So, okay, well, let's bring that promissory note. Bring it here. So the man brought it. He struck it out. He said, I'm going to give you 50% discount right now. My goodness. And he said, look, I'm going to give you 50% discount, you know. And he said, look, that's all you got to pay. And I'm going to relieve you of the rest. And he was still in business then. The master hadn't removed him. And he told him, I'm going to remove you. So he's going to make sure that he uses what he has left to do something secure, favor for him, you know, over all the people that owe his master money. So he's going to all of them and saying, look, I'm going to waive, I'm going to write off 50% of your indebtedness, this and this and this and this and this. So he's doing it all around, you know. And the plan, the hope was that when his master finally dismissed him, he go around to these people and say, look, hey, remember, I was the one that helped you. I cut your bill in half. And so that they will have, you know, some compassion on him. This was always in his mind. And the Lord said, look, see what the unjust steward did, how he had done wisely, you know, making preparation for himself, even though he was an unjust steward, you know. And then I said, well, because the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. But they shouldn't be, but they are. So the Lord will now tell a story here or give a lesson. He said, look, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is much. And he that is unjust in that which is least will be unjust in much also. Now, listen to this. If ye have not been faithful, you know, in the unrighteous mammon, that the money they put in your hand, which you might have gotten through unrighteous means, and you were not faithful in it, well, how in the world is anyone going to commit to your hand the righteous riches, the true riches? Now, you are in the midst of this worldly system. You get something. Maybe the system is corrupt. But even in that corruption, you were not faithful. Well, then who's going to plant you in a place of real blessings? The true riches. Jesus said it. If you have not been faithful in another man's, who's going to give you your own? You know, so when God puts us in a place, gives us an opportunity to be in charge of anything, and every one of us has that opportunity every single day. You're in charge of something. You know, everybody is in charge of something. You know, you may be in charge of the altar in your home. God called you to be a priest, the man in their home. You may be a single mother. You are in charge of that. You may be, you know, this and that. I mean, everybody. You're raising your children. You're in charge. You must be faithful in it. Whatever it is your hand find doing throughout life, God wants you to manage that well. And last thing I'll say is, when you see the favor of God is upon you, you know, you have to know how to recognize it. Don't squander it. Don't squander it. Because if you do, or you don't manage it well, or you don't use it to make profit, to benefit the kingdom, in other words, you just let it waste, it might be taken from you and given to another that is doing something with it. God needs people that are going to create wealth, make increase in the kingdom. They start out with 5, they got to 10. They start out with 2, they got to 4, and so forth. He doesn't want anybody that starts out with 1 and ends up with 0. You know, he wants us to make increase. That's the plan. Be fruitful and multiply. So we must multiply. We must be fruitful in everything. Now, that's my lesson today. There's more to be said on that. Perhaps I'll finish it up tomorrow, but I want to leave it there today. I am going to pray over the room for 2 things. Number one, I am going to pray that God will bring favor into your life. That's right. Now, the Lord will bring his favor into your life. He will surround you with favor as with a shield. I'm going to pray that prayer for you. Now, if you read Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "For thou, O Lord, will surely bless the righteous." That's right. That's the person that is walking with God. God is going to bless you if you are walking with God. And what is he going to do? He is going to surround you, compass you with favor as with a shield. It will just be, favor will be around you everywhere you go. Favor everywhere. On your left hand, favor. When people try to do you evil, it will turn to favor. Praise God. You know, and you, all your would-be destroyers will come unwilling would-be unwilling destiny helpers. They drew you, try to do you evil, try to cheat you out of your wages. Well, you know, God will transfer the wages, transfer the wealth, try to do evil to you, propel you more and more, closer and closer to your real destiny. They couldn't do it. They couldn't snuff out that favor in Joseph's life or Jacob's life or any of these people. You know, the Lord will bless the righteous person that is walking with God. He will surround and compass him about with favor as with a shield. That's my first prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer over everyone that's in the room today. But then we have to do some introspection and know who you are. Know what God has put inside of you and realize that you're walking with favor now. You're walking in favor. You're walking in glory. You're walking in power. So I played that song at the beginning. Walking in that, walking in that. You now realize who you are. Praise God. And because of you, things will fall into place. Blessings will come even to those around you. Now, Father, I pray and declare your word over everyone that's in the room today. May the Lord bless each of you with favor and surround you, compass you about as with a shield, with it, put it upon you. It's already inside of you. May it cause you to realize it. In the name of Jesus, favor from God. Hallelujah. I want to pronounce this over everybody that's in this room right now. And by extension, you know, those that may be listening in later on, that the Lord will put this favor upon you. You've seen what it can do. You've seen how the kingdom expression through his favor can change scenarios. It can even influence the course of nature. It can do everything. It can raise somebody to the top. It can do all manner of things. Now, for every one of you that is in here, and permit me to call your name before the Lord, every single last one of you. And as I call your name before the Lord, you receive it. Praise God. All you got to do is say amen. When I call your name before the Lord, all you got to do is say amen. Just type it in the chat room and you and I agree together. I call your name, Sister Choice, before the Lord for God's favor to change your story and wipe away your tears in the name of Jesus. Favor upon God's heritage in the name of Jesus. Favor upon Mr. Hills in the name of Jesus. Favor upon you, Camp, in the name of Jesus. Favor upon you, Sammy K, in the name of Jesus. Favor of the Lord upon you, Tisha. Favor everywhere in the name of Jesus. Favor upon you, Nina. Favor upon you, Rita. Yes, favor everywhere. Upon you, Jane, favor of the Lord. All you got to do is say amen. Favor upon you, Latoya, in the name of Jesus. Favor upon you, Chelsea. Favor upon you, Patrick. favor upon you, Ola, and favor upon you, Juliet. The favor of the Lord that cannot be snuffed out, cannot be eradicated, cannot be removed, cannot be obliterated, no matter what anybody tries. They can't do it. That favor be upon you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Favor upon you, Lorraine. The favor of God. Favor upon you, Grace. Favor upon you, Mary. Favor upon you, Gift. Praise the Lord. Let me refresh my screen here to make sure I'm not missing anybody. Folake, hallelujah. Favor upon you in the name of the Lord. The favor that cannot be removed. Favor everywhere. On the left and on the right. Wherever you go. Favor upon you, Gift. Favor upon you, Cadian, in the name of Jesus. Favor upon you, Charles. Favor upon you, Mary. Favor upon you, Alexis Hephzibah. That's right. Favor upon you, Pearl. Everywhere you turn, that favor is upon you. Favor upon you, Raphael. Favor in the name of Jesus upon you, Bola. Favor upon you, Olunife. Favor of the Lord. You break forth into favor on the left, on the right. You be a favor magnet. Hallelujah. Favor upon you, Duke. Favor upon you, Victor. Favor of the Lord upon you, Colapo. Favor everywhere upon you, Lola. Favor upon you, praise God. Wherever you go, the favor of God upon you. Let me refresh my screen now. Things are moving out of order. Favor upon you. I think I called Grace already. Favor upon you, Flora. Favor upon you, Nkechi. Favor upon Hephzibah. Favor upon you, Maggie. Favor upon you, Ibukun. Favor upon you, Sue. Favor of the Lord upon you, Veronica. The favor of the Lord upon you, Obi. The favor of the Lord upon you, Jane. And yes, upon you, Renita. The favor of God. Hallelujah. The favor of God upon you, Praise. The favor upon you, Ebon, and by extension, anyone that you are standing in the gap for, and anyone else that will come into this room later on, and let me do a refresh, make sure I didn't miss anyone. Favor of the Lord upon you. And I'm going to type my own amen in the chat room here to receive and operate in that favor. That's right. You know, I want the favor of the Lord. The favor is upon you already. You just need the Lord to give you grace for kingdom expression of it. Now, my second prayer is going to be that the Lord will give you the ability to be good stewards and good managers of the favor of God. And you know, none of us want to be like the prodigal son that squandered away all of the blessings that came his way, squandered it on riotous living. Well, you know, he was wrong. He was deadly wrong. And God didn't put all of that into his hands to go do that. Now, I pray for every one of you. You may start out little. No matter where you start from, just like Laban's house, when Jacob got there, multiply, increase. Just like Potiphar's house, when Joseph got there, multiplied and increase. I mean, the Lord will take a little that you have, you know, and he will increase it. Hallelujah. He will increase it. Listen to what he said in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand. That's favor for increase. And a small one become a strong nation. And the Lord will hasten it in his own time. Now, I decree the anointing of increase, the anointing of favor come upon you. What you lay your hands to do will prosper and will increase in the name of the Lord Jesus. But here's the requirement. You must walk with God. Can two walk with him except they be agreed? No. So you come in agreement with the word of God and you walk with God. You talk the talk of God. Just say what he says in his word. This word shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will declare it day and night, even to your children. You put it like frontlets in your eyes. Speak upon it when you sit at meal. Speak upon it, put it on the doorpost of your house, and so on. And even my spirit that is upon you shall not depart out of your mouth. You keep on declaring the word of God. That's why you be in alignment. And you walk with God in the integrity of your heart. And the Lord will watch over his grace and his favor that's upon you. It will give you the spirit of great stewardship in the name of Jesus. Favor management. You manage it well that it will never run out in the name of Jesus. Now the Lord bless everyone that's in this room today and everyone that's listening later on with the favor of God and with the ability for proper management of that favor in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. We release this upon your people. Receive it in Jesus' name. Let the work of your hands, according to Psalm 90 and verse 17, let the work of your hands, let it be blessed. Let the favor of God, like beauty, shine upon you. Glory to God. And cause everything you lay your hands upon to prosper. Let thy work appear unto your children, Lord, your servants, your glory unto their children as well. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon everyone that's in this house. The favor of God, let it be upon you and establish thou the work of their hands. Everyone that's in this room, the work of our hands, Lord. Yea, even the work of our hands. Establish thou it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.